2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to read for us the whole of the chapter, even though we did look at the first five verses last Lord's Day. I want to remind us, because these work together, that we looked at last Lord's Day, and as we will continue this morning. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning reading at verse 1 and reading through the end of the book. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But as the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, and as we consider the continuation of what we looked at last Lord's Day, the requirement to pray for, the requirement to trust in God, that he is the one who carries his church forward, yet that has practical implications for how we live and how we allow Christians to live in this world. We have to understand that. It's very easy for us to say, well, it's no big deal. I don't have to worry about it. As long as they're living some way, we don't put our nose into it. And yet, that's not what God says here. When we live in and among Christians, there is a manner in which we are as Christians to consider how others live. Not to walk in a disorderly manner. Now, what's going on there? That word seems odd to us. Well, we have to understand that disorderly means not having your priorities straight. What is our priority as Christians? Our priority is to be the service of God, the glory of God. And so, how do we walk in order to do that sort of thing? And he starts talking about ideas of which he talks about those who don't work. Paul says, you know that we were not disorderly among you. Verse 7. We didn't eat people's bread free of charge. We worked with labor night and day. so that we wouldn't be a burden to you. Not because he says we don't have the authority, but to be an example of how to walk in an orderly manner. We live in a world where people want to live without working. And what's the God say? 6 days shall you labor. It doesn't say, well, if you can get away with four, hey, three, maybe one. That's our culture's goal, right? If I don't have to work at all, that's great. But God says we are to work. We are to walk in an orderly manner, following after the apostles' example. That Paul entrusts God's people to the care of God, and this is where it comes in, the care of one another. That we are to care for one another. We are to know how one another lives, not to be busybodies. Notice he talks about that, those who go out and spend their time actually just sticking their noses in other people's business too deeply. But on the other hand, we are to care for one another and to be laboring together as God's people. Having our priorities straight, doing that which is important and not doing those things which are not important. Our culture doesn't know what's important, it doesn't know what's not important. They spend their time worrying about things that'll never happen, and they spend their time not worrying about that which God promises will happen, the judgment day. And so, we are to follow that example. We're called to walk orderly, following those apostles' example. The apostles did not walk disorderly. They rather worked day and night so that they wouldn't be a burden. There would be those, and there can be in the church today, I've run into them personally, who want everybody else to help them out. Now, it's not a very German-Russian perspective on things, but they're getting to be those sorts too today, who say, you know, I need help. And I keep needing help, and I keep needing help. And that's not what God says we are to do as Christians. He says work, labor, do those things which are necessary. He says the apostles did it so much so that they would not be a burden. They had the right, and Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians, they had the right to live off of the labor which they were doing as pastors, as apostles. But Paul didn't use it because he did not want to be a burden to the churches, to the new churches where he was. And so, to be an example of how we are to live in an orderly, in a godly manner as Christians in this world. And he says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, verse 10, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That's a pretty hard thing. And yet when we have people who have their hands out all of the time, and we have a culture full of this, yeah, they try to go through the government nowadays, but it's the same idea. If anyone will not work, God says what? Neither shall he eat. And we as Christians are called. There's an aspect of this that we as Christians, as the modern church, need to totally get straightened out here. That we as a church ought to be the first line of defense to help those who are in need. Too often we just say, okay, go to the government. Now that's backwards and upside down. The church is here to assist, especially fellow Christians who are in need. But on the other hand, there are those and there will be those. If we say, hey, we are here to help, there's going to be those who spend their time saying, okay, help me all the time. And God says, if such a person will not work, they are not to eat. They are not to be fed. They need to labor. They need to go about a daily job in order to pay for the food that they need. There are those who are unable. But there's an awful lot more than that who spend their time saying, help me, help me, help me. He says, there are busybodies, lazy people, who spend their time doing disorderly things. What is that? What is it to be a busybody? To spend their time sticking their noses in other people's business. Not working at all, he says. Now there's different places in which the same sort of idea is talked about. When the church is talking about widows who are in need of assistance, God says that there are widows who need to remarry. He says some of them should raise a family. But there are the problem, the danger often there becomes, again, if that's just someone who ends up getting assistance, help, then they spend their time in being busybodies in other people's matters. And the idea there is to busy oneself about trifling and needless and useless matters. When we don't have anything else to do, what do? We spend our time worrying about the little junk. If we've got a hard day's work ahead of us and a hard day's work yesterday, what do you end up spending your time all on the little junk? No. And too many people today don't have enough to do. So they spend their time trying to come up with problems. Inquisitive, spending their time sticking their noses in other people's problems. Notice how this interrelates with the first section. And we don't have to spend our time checking up everything everybody ever did. We can trust God for that. And we can trust God that God is going to build up His people. If we are diligent about the things to which God calls us, we don't need to worry about our fellow Christians nearly as much as people often do today. On the other hand, we need to be careful, again, about me, myself, and I. Because it's easy for us, individuals, to get worried about trifling little matters, about busybody junk. Did you hear? I love the catechism. The opposite of busybody is what the catechism talks about. That we defend and promote our neighbor's good name insofar as we can and may. That's such a blessed perspective. Our world, I mean, good grief, you guys know that. There's whole channels on TV about gossip. We have to realize how much our world runs on gossip. In fact, the nightly news nowadays is 99% gossip. Doesn't have anything to do with the real world. It's just, hey, let's talk about other people's lives. Let's be busybodies. And we have to realize that. And then we have to understand that we as Christians are called not to spend our time in the trifling junk, but we are to defend and promote our neighbor's good name as much as we can and may. And that's a manner in which we love them. So instead of spending our time, did you hear about the juicy nugget about so-and-so? Quite the opposite. I don't want to hear about the juicy story that's going to be told. He says what? Verse 12. That we command these to work. To eat their own bread. In Jesus Christ, they are told by God to work. I'm sorry, verse 12. Did I say that? I thought I said verse 11. That they work in quietness and eat their own bread. And that's so important for all of us. Instead of spending our time sticking our noses in everybody else's business, rather get a good day's labor in. Do the work that God requires of us. At the end of the day, you're going to be tired. And you won't have time and energy to spend your nose, sticking your nose in everybody else's business. To eat their own bread. Notice this is again in comparison to what Paul has said earlier. Paul says, we didn't eat bread free of charge. We worked. And this was an example. And so again, eat your own bread. In verse 13, but don't grow weary in doing good. Those of us who seek to be obedient to God's command, to care for, to help those who are in need, he says, don't grow weary in doing good. There's going to be those who spend their time trying to take. And God says, don't grow weary doing good. Doing the right thing is going to, from time to time, be very frustrating. But don't get weary about that. Trust God. You're doing the right thing. And God will provide, as remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26, when the sheep come, and Jesus says at the judgment day, blessed are you, for when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. Those are important things for us as Christians, not to overlook, to care for one another. Don't grow weary in doing that. Even though, yes, there are people who make us weary, who make us tired, because they try to take. But at that same time, if there are those who consider themselves to be Christian, who walk in a disorderly manner, verse 14, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that past person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. If there are those, and there will be, who will not walk according to God's commands, he says, do not keep company with them. Elsewhere, God says through Paul, bad company corrupts good morals. It's bad for us. It's dangerous for us. Think about Lot's daughters. How much living in and with the culture messed them up. And he says, do not keep company with such that they may be ashamed. God calls us to use Matthew 18. There are times to bring not the judgment that we ourselves somehow bring, but to acknowledge God's judgment and to go through those steps. And one of the marks that we call in the Belgic Confession a mark of the true church is discipline. And so there are times to take someone and say, the way in which you're living is dangerous to you, is not safe. And do not keep company with such a person. But notice verse 15, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now this person is not an enemy if they are living and walking in a disorderly manner, not living in, shall we say, full-on sin and full-on unrepentance, but to admonish such a person as a brother. And notice how Paul ends this epistle, this letter. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Notice How awesome that verse is. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord of peace. That God is the God, the Lord. Paul says to the Thessalonians as they're in the middle of this trial, this persecution as the church. God says through Paul, God is the God of peace. In the middle of trials, in the middle of persecution, God is the one who can give us peace. And that is the blessing with which Paul ends this passage. May the Lord of peace give you peace always in every way. And as we live in this world, it doesn't have to be easy for us to have peace. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be a walk in the park. As Christians, we can and do have peace no matter what. And that peace comes from God. And so for the Thessalonians, as they're in the middle of persecution, of trials from every which way, Paul blesses them with peace. The Lord be with you all. That God would care for and be with his people there in Thessalonica, and that God would be with his people no matter where they are. And Paul then ends the epistle with a salutation. This salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace. Again, we started out going back to the first verses of 2 Thessalonians. What? Grace and peace. And the most important thing, brothers and sisters, that we can have is grace from God, peace with God. And so no matter what goes on in this world, no matter how man tries to twist, to turn things upside down around us, the bare fact that we have in these openings, these apostolic blessings, and these apostolic benedictions, that rests with you and I, needs to rest in our hearts and in our minds. We have the peace of God toward us, and we have His grace, His undeserved favor, reminding us of what Jesus Christ has done for us in saving us from our sins. And that is, of course, the most important question about any one of us is, has God's grace been applied to us, salvation? And that's what he ends with, isn't it? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And so we can face anything. Peace of God, peace with God, and the grace of God. So often we think we need so much more. But what we need are those two awesome statements. And so Paul gives us the ways in which we live as Christians in this world. We need to be reminded that we can trust God for one another. And at the other end of it, we need also to be very careful that we care for one another as Christians. Not to the point of being busybodies, but for those who are in need, we need to not grow weary in doing good, but we are also to call those who just spend their time saying, more for me, and to say, no, work. Do the labor that God calls us to. Don't be a freeloader. But rather, we trust in the Lord, and we are to labor faithfully as servants of God in everything He calls us to. Amen. Just a second. Excuse me. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can live in this world and that we do not need to fear man. Even as we consider the Thessalonians from Thessalonica And as we consider the trials in which they lived and the persecution in which they lived, they were focusing in the middle of this passage that we've looked at on those around them who needed their help, those among the number of their Christians. And yet, Lord, there are so easy so many who say, help me, and never contribute. And we pray, Lord, that such would be called by you to labor faithfully, to eat their own bread. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be busybodies in the business of other people, but instead that we would be those who defend and promote our neighbor's good name insofar as we can and may. And we praise you, Lord, for the fact that you give us hope in every situation, that you give us your grace, the undeserved favor of what Christ has done for us, and you give to us peace, peace with God, peace in a world that is so often turned upside down, so that we can live here and trust in you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, that if you have given your Son, how much more shall you with him freely give us every good gift? We pray this in Jesus' name, praying as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.